Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maybe it's because we're all like-minded and like-hearted. You know, we have a pastor here that loves revival and the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's never been a pressure for me to minister here. It's always been a blessing. It's easy. I get up here, I have fun. Amen. I never feel under the micro. Thank you. I don't know which micro I was going for, but you had it right there, the microscope. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to hang around with people that love the move of the Spirit. Amen. I've been into some churches where you minister and you feel like you're about to be lynched. I'm telling you right now, you feel like you're about to be lynched. You feel like if you walked out the door, people would follow you and hang you from a tree in the parking lot. Hallelujah. But that's normally when religion's in the house. Amen. And I promise you, I have not found 1 ounce of religion in the house. And let me tell you what, I have a spiritual nose for religion. I can look at people and go, my God, I see religion. But I have not seen that. I've looked hard, but I have not found that. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you are relieved. Thank God. Romans chapter 12. And verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, listen to this real carefully. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not like God's asking too much from us. He said, this is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, lay everything on the altar. If we want God to use us in these last days, we have to allow God to come and change us. You do not take a vessel or a container in the kitchen that is dirty, that has other food in it, and put fresh food into that container. You purify the container, you wash it out, you put it in the dishwasher, you clean it out, you sterilize it, and then you use it again. Why do you think God's going to come and pour His fresh oil and His sweet anointing into a vessel that's already contaminated by the things of the world? What God has to do is He has to come and change us on the inside. Let me tell you what, that's what drove people away in the 90s from revival. When we hit like 97, 98, I remember my brother calling me and saying to me, so what do you see different in revival? And I said, the attendance have dropped off. And I said, it's like God has taken away the fence and told us now, pick a camp. You're either for revival or you're against revival. And ones that were sitting on the fence that looked like they were for revival, all of a sudden the fence was gone. And they had to land in some camp, and some of them chose to go, you know, the seeker-sensitive way, to go build a large church and forget the move of the Spirit of God, and that's what they did. And those that chose revival jumped right into the river and stayed there. Let me tell you what, there are not many ministers from the 90s. That had supernatural outpourings of the Spirit of God in their church. There are not many that today will allow the move of God in their church. Yes, one. But there are not many churches from the 90s that, listen, what God's doing today is it's with a whole other generation. It's fresh people. It's new ministers that are hungry for God. But a lot of those ministers back in the 90s, I wouldn't even want to go to their churches, because they would hinder whatever God wants to do. And we had some great revivals in some awesome churches over the years. But they backed off. Because they couldn't take the pressure that the people were giving them. And they felt like they needed to conform to what church should be. Well, how do we know what church should be? Who taught us what church should be? The previous generation taught us what church should be. And the previous generation taught that generation. So all it does is comes down from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And that's how we know how to have church. Well, let me tell you what. When I was taught how to have church, I was taught about the Holy Ghost. I was taught about the fire of God. I was taught about when you come to church, come expecting, come hungry, come thirsty, and the Holy Ghost will show up. I grew up Pentecostal. Are you listening to me? We had some fiery Pentecostal preachers when we were kids. I mean, we used to see Holy Ghost hoedowns in the church. Are you listening to me? I remember prayer meetings that my mom and dad would have at the house on a Saturday night. I remember many times going to sleep at night on a Saturday night, listening to men and women of God praying in the Spirit. They'll pray till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And then be at church at 10 o'clock in the morning on time. Hello? Today, some people can't even make church on a Sunday morning because they watch videos till 2, 3 in the morning and now they're too tired. But these men and women of God, they'd pray through the night. And then the next morning, they'd be in church on a Sunday morning, full of the Holy Ghost, on fire for God. Hello? We need that kind of a generation again. We need that kind of a people in the church that'll be so committed to God, no matter what happens. We focus on the things of God. That's what I grew up in. I remember lying in the living room under the coffee table. My brother and I, we under the coffee table, under the dining room table, or whatever it is, and we got our little cars, we're playing, and I remember people falling on the floor, right next door to us, on the floor. I look over there, and they are on the floor, under the Holy Ghost, and we're playing with our cars, looking around. People are under the power of God. That's what I grew up in. I remember days we'd sit down on a Sunday, just to pray. My dad would just pray over the food. And he'd start to pray, and we all have holding hands around the table. My brother Rodney, my mom, my dad, myself. My dad's praying over the food. 40 minutes later, he stops prophesying. That's what I grew up in. I remember one day sitting at the table. I was hungry, man. I was hungry. And my mama, she could cook a meal, my God. You eat that stuff, you want to slap your grandmother. It's so good. Are you listening to me? I'm holding hands and we're praying and praying. My dad's prophesying. And there was a big bowl right in front of me of roast potatoes. And I remember slipping my hand out of my brother's hand. And very carefully moving towards the center of the table, grabbing one of those pieces of potato. Every head bowed and every eye closed at the table. Nobody was looking around, and I put that whole potato in my mouth. And I take his hand again and I just chew slowly. I just couldn't wait. And there'd be many Sundays when my mom would have to get up from the table and pick up the food and take it back to the kitchen and go warm it up because it's cold. Because Dad prophesied for 40 minutes. That's what we grew up in. My mom and Dad, they wake up 5:30 every morning, pray. You know, when you got a praying parents, you can't mess around. Because they look at you and go, what's going on? Oh, nothing. Oh, yeah. What's going on? Me and Mom, we're praying here this morning. What's happening? Talk to me. Nothing, Dad. Nothing. And we go off to our room. Telling you. But the church has lost all of that. They lost all of that. They went from that into programs. Dim the lights and put on the strobes. Smoke machines. Worship. Hello. See, all of that can start right here with us. Once you have a taste of the Holy Ghost, once you have an encounter with God Almighty, then everything about you changes. The things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And when you feel and sense and see His glory and His grace, what was important to you is not important anymore. Saul on the road to Damascus, he got hit by the Holy Ghost, blind for 3 days. And his question was, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And then he said, "What do you want me to do?" See, suddenly his plan was no more. And now, "Jesus, what do you want me to do?" I know when I had an encounter with God, all of a sudden my plans were gone. And I'm like, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" And it's never changed. Unless He gives me other plan, we just do what God tells us to do, and we flow with the Holy Ghost, and we carry the fires of revival, and we carry the joy. And whatever else He wants to do in the meeting, He can do. Hello? Verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be not conformed to this world. There's a lot of churches that try to conform themselves to a structure. Well, this is how this denomination works. This is the structure of this denomination. So we must conform ourselves to that structure. And I'm like, listen, where does the structure come from? Who passed the handbook down? Because if it was somebody that was full of the Holy Ghost, that was on fire for God, the handbook would talk about joy. It would talk about being drunk in the Spirit. It would talk about going on the streets, on the highways and the byways. It would talk about soul winning. It would talk about being fired up for the things of God. It wouldn't talk about having an hour and a half service. Hello. We do what we do in church because somebody taught us that. But listen, when you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and then you let Him teach you what to do and you flow with the Holy Ghost, it all changes. It's very different. Very different. I mean, very different. I mean, very, very, very different. And all of a sudden, joy begins to break out. All of a sudden, people start getting set free. All of a sudden, people start feeling the glory of God upon them. Pain starts going. Marriages start getting healed. Financial miracles start happening. Children start getting set on fire for God. Families are reunited back together again. Well, praise God to get set free from drugs, brother. We need a 12-step program. I got one step. One step is down to the altar. And then we pray. Five God hit you, you'll be set free like that. Before my dad served the Lord, he used to smoke 60 cigarettes a day and a pipe. 60 cigarettes a day and a pipe. And he went to I believe it was a William Branham meeting in South Africa. Came back, went to the farm, they lived on the farm, sat in front of the coal stove, took his pipe, put some tobacco in the pipe, and tried to light a match to light up the pipe, and he started shaking. Everything fell on the floor. And my mom thought he was having a heart attack, so she ran next door to the farmhouse next door. My uncle was there. He was a pastor and a minister, and he come running over thinking my dad's having a heart attack. He takes one look at my dad. He says, "No, he's not having a heart attack. God wants him to stop smoking." And then he just turned around and went back home. My dad got up and took all his cigarettes, cartons of cigarettes, all his tobacco, his pipe, everything, opened up the coal stove, put it in, burnt everything up that very moment like that. Next morning he woke up, didn't reach for a cigarette, ate breakfast, said, my God, said to my mom, where did you get these eggs? They taste amazing. The food tastes amazing. Where did you get this food from? My mom's like, it's what you eat every day. Then he goes and gets on the bus because he worked on the mines. He gets on the bus and they would all sit at the back and talk with the guys and they're all smoking that. And my dad had to go and sit in the front of the bus, open up the window and put his head out the window because he couldn't stand the smoke smell. Like a non-smoker, if I get around smoke, I choke and I've got to get away as quickly as I can because I can't breathe. And this is what happened, like instantly, just like that. Boom. No patch. No chewing of gum. No 12-step program. Instantly. Why don't we start believing God for some instant miracles? Some supernatural instant miracles. God, we need a miracle and we need it now. God, we want revival and we want it now. God, we want your fire and we want it now. God, we want the wind of the Spirit to blow and we want it now. We're not going to wait for another generation to come along. We're not going to wait and live in the dry desert place. We want the move of God and we want it now. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Amplified Bible says conformed means fashioned or adapted to. A lot of churches are fashioned after or adapted to. They adapt to the community. They adapt to what the people want. How can you send out a survey to people saying, what do you want in church, where they don't even know what they need? Let me tell you something about the world. The church might not be like this because there's religion in the house. Religion doesn't want change. Religion's not looking for life. Religion's looking for structure, time, constraint. That's what religion looks for. But let me tell you what. The world out there, the sinner out there is looking for something real. They're looking for something real. So they go into the world. They're looking for something real. They try drugs. They try this. They try alcohol. It doesn't satisfy them. And then they come to church looking for something real. Some come to church and then they leave with nothing. That's why it's so important we give an altar call. That's why it's so important that we have the Holy Spirit in the house. That's why it's so important that God can do whatever He wants to do, that there's a river flowing through the house that can touch these people because they have a void in their life and the only one that can fill that void is God Almighty. It's not another hit on a pipe somewhere. It's not another drug they can take. It's not something else that can get them high. You can come in the meeting and get high on the Most High. Oh, you listen to me. Thank you, Jesus. So the world are coming in looking for something real. And then they show up and there's nothing. Some come, maybe they get saved. And then they come back for more and there's nothing more. Because the church is dead themselves. And then those same people that come in, they go back out in the world still searching for something real. When we have somebody that's real and he's living on the inside of us, we have an anointing that flows from the throne room of grace into us, through us, into others. Why don't we give that away? Transformed in the Amplified says changed or a total turnaround or a new attitude. The church needs a new attitude. I believe with this election that we've just gone by, there's been a tweaking of the attitude of the church. There's been a tweaking. Suddenly, the Christians woke up a little bit stuck their head out of the sand enough to take enough breath to vote for the right person. I'm praying that they didn't go back under the sand. I'm praying that they got up above the sand. Hello. We might have had a new attitude concerning the elections, but listen, we need a new attitude concerning America. We need a new attitude concerning the church. We need a new attitude concerning God Almighty and the move of the Holy Ghost in this nation. The only thing that's going to save this nation is a move of God. That's the only thing that's going to save this nation, is a move of God Almighty. And let me tell you where it starts. It starts in you, and it starts in me, and it starts right here in this place. I want to see this nation shaken by the power of Almighty God. And let me tell you what, if I didn't think it was possible, I'd change my message. I wouldn't do what I do. Are you listening to me? But I know it's possible. I have no doubt about it. I have no doubt about it. That before Jesus comes, we are going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the world has ever seen. I often cry out to God and say, God, please, this generation, my generation, the time I'm living in now, not 20 years from now, not 30 years from now, because the church won't embrace what you're doing. We got to have it now, Lord. I'm not waiting 30 years for you to move. I'm not waiting 30 years to see a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have to see it now. God, you've got to come and shake the church. You've got to come and shake us. You've got to come and change us. You've got to mold us and make us and perfect us into the vessel you want us to be. We've got to see revival on the church, because we've got to see a great awakening come to the nation. And the great awakening has to come through the believer as the carrier of the fire and the carrier of the anointing. As we go out in the highway and the byways, all of a sudden people start getting saved, they start getting healed, they start getting delivered, and they start getting set free. And that's what we call an awakening. Suddenly the world is awoken to Jesus Christ. And I don't care what religion's out there. I don't care what's going on out there in the world. Let me tell you what, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No one else. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the devil thinks he has us. He ain't got nothing. And he has no clue about what God's about to do on this, in this world. He has no clue about what God's about to do in the nation. I'm telling you right now, we're going to kick a lot of devil butt this next year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whole cities will be shaken by the power of Almighty God. Whole cities will be shaken by the power of Almighty God. Do you know what it means when a whole city is shaken? It means bars. It means nightclubs close their doors. It means crime leaves the place. It means nobody. I mean, the police have no work to do because there is no crime. Are you listening to me? It's proven in the history books. In the history books. It's been written about in the history books. You know, let's not pray for revival. Listen to me real carefully. Let's not pray for revival. Let's just have it. Let's not pray, oh, God, send revival. Let's just have it. Let's just have it. Let me tell you what you can pray for. Let me tell you what you can pray for. Pray that a hunger comes on the believers' hearts, that they will cry out to God for more of Him. Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take the believer to come together and start crying out to God. God, we need more of You. And once that happens, there's coming a wind of the Spirit of God that'll blow across the nation and around the world. Once again, we'll see a great move of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're having revival. We're already having a move of God. We're not crying out, oh God, send the wind. The wind is already here. God, send the fire. The fire is already here. God, send the joy. The joy is already here. But it's the believers that have to get unhooked from the world, get unhooked from the football games, get unhooked from the things of the world that would so easily beset them, and then focus on the things of God. And then all of a sudden we see a big flame. And suddenly Fort Worth will begun to be shaken by the power of Almighty God. And then this thing will ripple through the nation and around the world. I'm telling you right now, it's coming. It's just a matter of time. And I don't think we have much time left before we see that wave come. I'm telling you right now, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. I'm not sure about you, but I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for some all-night meetings. I'm ready to start a meeting at 7 o'clock at night, and we go till 3, 4 in the morning. I'm ready for some all-night meetings. I remember standing in a meeting back in the 90s. At the night meeting, and I looked at my watch. It was 12:30 at night. 12:30. I looked and went, my God, it's already the next day. The place was packed with people, packed with people. And I looked at the people and I said, look. I said, we're going to be back here at 10:30 in the morning. I said, we can go home now. And tomorrow morning, we'll carry on. Well, this morning, we'll carry on, 10:30. And then, we'll pray for everybody tomorrow morning that, and or the next meeting. And or we can pray for you right now. And it was a unanimous decision. Now. And I think that night we prayed until about 2:30 in the morning. I think it was about 2:30 in the morning we left the place. You know where that was? That was in Calvary Cathedral. In one of our camp meetings we did there. That was one of the nights. Power got hit the place. Everyone got drunk and didn't even know what the time was. Hello. See, when you're drunk, time doesn't mean anything. I'll have another drink, brother. Praise God. So I'm ready for some all-nighters. I'm ready for some extended stuff. I'm ready for whatever God wants to do. And I tell you what, when God puts it in place and ignites it, man will not stop it. But I tell you right now, it's going to shake loose a lot of people. It's going to bring in, this place is going to be jammed with people. It's going to bring in a lot of people. And I believe that this next move of God, we're going to come out of that next move of God and we're going to explode across the nation and around the world. I really believe that. I believe the next few waves of God is going to usher in the coming of Jesus. Amen. Because you see, I do believe this, and I'm going to close with this. I do believe this, that before Jesus comes, everybody will hear Jesus. and have an opportunity to make him Lord and Savior. Everyone. There's not going to be one person that can stand before Jesus and go, "Well, I was never given that opportunity." And we're going to see that come about in this revival. And there are going to be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people saved. And let me tell you what, it's not only going to be in the church, but it's going to be on the streets, in the shopping malls, at the Walmarts. Hello. Ever been chased off the property of a Walmart because you're telling people about Jesus? Ever had that happen? I believe they're going to come to chase you off the property. And when they get there, say, "You have to, I need Jesus. Can you pray with me too?" I'm telling you right now, you watch and see. There's going to be some supernatural things that will happen on the streets. And you soul winners in the house, take the anointing of God, and when you get on the streets, lay hands on people. I'm telling you right now, pray for them. Let that anointing flow into them. If you have to, take a catcher with you. Amen. Take an usher with you. Amen. Or learn how to pray and catch yourself. Amen. Lay hands on the front, run around the back and catch them and put them down. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, it ain't over yet. There's a whole lot more to come. I said there's a whole lot more to come. There's a whole lot more to come. Hallelujah. I want every head bowed, every eye closed just for a moment. I do believe that we have believers in the house here this evening, but I want to give an opportunity for those that might be here that maybe your life is not right with Jesus. Maybe you need to make right with him tonight. See, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Wants to touch you, set you free, and use you. So maybe you've come into this place tonight. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Maybe you've come into this place tonight and you have given your heart to the Lord, but you're not serving him like you should be. You need to rededicate your life and make that fresh start here this evening. I want to include you in this prayer. Maybe you've come into this place tonight, you have given your heart to the Lord, but the devil keeps lying to you, telling you you're not saved. You can make sure of your salvation this evening. You don't have to leave this place without knowing, without a shadow of a doubt, I am a born-again child of God. While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, if that's you this evening, anyone on any one of those three invitations, you know, God's speaking to your heart. I just want you to slip your hand up quickly and then take it back down. Is there anybody in the house? Anyone in the house? Quickly. Slip your hand up and then take it back down again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I pray that you turn us into soul winners, Lord, that we bring people in the house. We bring people in the house, Jesus. We bring the lost in here, Lord, that can find you as their Lord and Savior. But Father, we go out of our way to bring people in that need Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring the lost, bring the backslider, the slider. Bring the ones that don't know where they're going. This is a house of life. This is a house of joy. People can come in this place and find eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me turn this altar call into this. Maybe you've come into this place tonight. You've given your heart to Jesus. You love the Lord with all of your heart. But you have a burning desire to do whatever God wants you to do, to lay everything on the altar, to say, "God, use me, change me, shape me, and mold me into what you want me to be. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll be whatever you want me to be. Not my will, but your will be done." Maybe that's you in the place tonight. Tonight we're going to lay everything on the altar and say, Jesus, have your way. Do whatever you need to do in my life, Lord. Let the fire come down. Burn out all the dross. Change me. Ignite a fire on the inside of me that, Father, I can become a carrier of the anointing of God Almighty. I set aside everything of my life. I set aside everything. Lay it all on the altar. Say, God, whatever is of you, raise it up. Whatever is not of you, Lord, let it be buried. Let it be gone. I'm talking to the believer here this evening. You feel God, or you're hungry for God to use you in these last days. I want you just to quickly stand to your feet. Stand to your feet across the building. I want you all just to, those that are standing, I want you just to come down and come just in a group together. And then we'll spread you out in just a moment and lay hands on everybody. You're hungry for God to use you. You're desperate for God to use you. You want to be a part of the revival, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the move of the Spirit of God in these last days. Come right now. Come right now. This is not a salvation call. This is a refiring call. An igniting call. Hallelujah. No. Everybody just come together. Just don't go there. We'll line you up in just a little bit. Just try to come and bunch yourself a little closer here. We'll find a piece of carpet for you. I promise you, there's enough in the house still to get everybody carpeted. Amen. So I'm going to pray with you before we do this. And we're all going to pray together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to believe God for revival in the school. I'm looking at you. I'm going to believe God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the school. Because that is the next generation that'll carry the fire of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we need to see. We've been in many churches where the schools have been touched by the power of God, where teachers have been so drunk they couldn't teach in the day. They were carried into the meeting and lay on the floor by students. And students carried them in and lay them on the carpet. And I'm like, who is he and what's he doing here? Oh, he's our teacher and he's too drunk. He can't teach. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, where were, you know, when I was a kid, I would have loved that. My teacher get drunk in the Holy Ghost and we're out of school, praise God. Amen. But that's the generation. We've got to see the young generation touched by the power of Almighty God. That's why it's so important. If you have kids, bring them to the meeting. You'll be amazed at how much kids love the move of God. And I know young men today, you know, they probably 27, 28 years old. They're back in 93, 94, 95. They were just 6, 7, 8 years old. And today they travel the world carrying the fires of revival. They're revivalists. But back in those days, they were just little kids coming, sitting in the meetings, coming up for prayer, getting touched with the power of God. And today, God's raised them up as revivalists and they travel the nation and travel the world. Amen. You don't know what God does in kids. Amen. No, listen, we come as we are. It's not about an education. It's not about what you have. It's not about how well you can speak. You know, God uses the most unlikely people. The ones that step up and go, yeah, I'm the most likely. No, you're not. But God uses, go look through the Word. Many, many times God used the most unlikely people. Jesus used the most unlikely people to further the kingdom of heaven. Amen. When I was a little kid, you know, I struggled to speak. I actually went for speech therapy. You wouldn't say that now, would you? Only time I struggle to speak is when I'm drunk in the Holy Ghost. Try to give my testimony. Amen. That's the only time I struggle to speak, but I don't have any problem with that because, you know, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. You just come as you are and say, God, I want you to use me in any which way you want to use me. I lay everything on the altar and you do whatever you want in my life. Bring about a transformation on the inside of me. Don't pray for your wife tonight in the line and say, God, you got to touch her. She really needs a touch of heaven. She might need one, but leave that up to God. Focus on yourself. Don't pray for your husband that he gets a touch of heaven. Let me tell you what, lady, if you get a touch, your husband will get one. And husband, if you get one, your wife will get one. Because they'll see what's going on in you and then they'll want some. Are you listening to me? So all you do is place a demand on the anointing. God, come change me. And my prayer is this, if there's anything in my heart that you didn't put there, I'm asking you to take away. And I can tell you right now, that'll purify the heart on a daily basis. Are you listening to me? We don't hold a grudge against people. We're not bitter towards people. We love people. And I can tell you right now, it's only because of the anointing and the fact that we lay it all on the altar and say, God, come and change us on the inside. Because listen, I don't have time to hold a grudge. I'm too busy. I found this out, that holding a grudge actually takes time out of my schedule to work at it. You actually got to work at a grudge. Amen. And apart from that, we want God to use us. How can He use a contaminated vessel that's carrying around a hurt and a grudge, and you're bitter towards this one and you're bitter towards that one? So, people have wronged you. So, but they've said something that's hurt you. They've said something that's evil against you. Did they not do that to Jesus? Did they not end up putting Him on a cross? Is there anybody that should be bitter? It could be Jesus, but He's not. So if He's not bitter because of what happened, why are we bitter? Amen. And you know that sometimes the attack of the enemy comes against you because they see Jesus in you and they don't like what they see. So they try to discourage that within you and bring you down. Amen. Hallelujah. So raise your hands to heaven and let me pray for everybody as a group. And then we're going to lay hands on everybody here that wants prayer. Father, I pray for every person down front, Lord. Father, you see our hearts. Father, we are hungry. We are thirsty. We want more of you, Lord Jesus, and none of us. Even tonight, Lord, as we lay everything on the altar, we ask you to come with a fire of the Holy Ghost. That fire of the Holy Ghost that would burn out all the dross and bring about a change on the inside of us. That God, we will never be the same again. That you would raise us up from this night full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fire of God. That everywhere we go, even through this Christmas season, as we meet family and friends, Lord, that we'd carry the fire of the Holy Ghost. That we could release the anointing. Signs and wonders and miracles will follow. Raise us up, Lord. Take us across the nation and around the world. That we would see this nation shaken by the power of Almighty God. That we'd see revival break out across America. Revive America, Lord. Shake America. Awake America. Lord, let it begin. Let it begin in us. Let it begin in us. Let it begin in us. Start a work in us, Lord. Change us. Touch us. Set us free. Lord, even now I thank you that the anointing from heaven flows like a river into every hungry and thirsty person that's in this place. Let a fresh fire, Lord, fall upon every believer. Let them all become carriers of the fire of the Holy Ghost. make a fresh commitment tonight, Lord. Whatever you want to do, you do. However you want to do it, Lord, you do it. Whenever you want to do it, Lord, you do it. Father, I will be under the spout. When you pour your glory out upon this earth, I will be under the spout. Whatever it takes, I make the adjustment, I make the change, and I allow the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to come and do a work on the inside of me. We'll never be the same. From glory to glory to glory to glory. Lord, you've touched many over this last 2 months, Lord. But there's deeper depths and there's higher heights that you want to take us into. We want more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless each and every one of your children, Lord. Bless each and every one of your children. Bless each and every one of your children, Lord. Bless each and every one of your children, Lord. Bless each and every one that's hungry. Bless each and every one that's thirsty. Bless each and every one that placed a demand upon the anointing. Let them become carriers of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands and just tell him, I'm hungry. Gotta have more of you, Lord. Gotta have more of you. Gotta have more of you, Lord. Gotta have more of you, Lord. Gotta have more of you, Lord. Gotta have more of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't limit God and don't put him in a box. Because you see, there's many times that God would use us, but God would never show us where we're going. He would just take us. Because if we saw where we were going, we wouldn't believe. So many times God will take us down the road, and by faith we follow him. Everywhere he tells us to go, we go. But if we saw in advance where we're going and what he's going to do, sometimes it would be beyond our comprehension. It would be beyond our understanding. You know, I always look at it this way. God really works on a need-to-know basis. And many times we don't need to know. Amen. Because he already knows. All we are is the vessel. And we just go down the road and do whatever God tells us. And then he redirects us and takes us here and takes us there. And we see the glory of God come and touch the hearts and lives of the believers. But it's nothing we need to know. We just got to trust him. That's all. Amen. So don't even think about, well, how's God going to do this and where am I going to go? And just listen. Spend time with God. Spend time in his presence. You know, meetings like this are these great times to hear from God and get direction for your life and for ministry and whatever God has in store for you. Amen. These are great times to do it in. I've learned and heard a lot from God on the floor. chewing carpet all over the nation. Amen. Learned a lot from God and got a lot of direction from the Lord. Right here in meetings just like this. Sometimes he'll just give me the next step. Sometimes he'll just give me the next direction. But I don't know anything in full. But then when I get there, then he starts unfolding it for me. And then it goes on to the next step and the next step and the next step. And I believe God does it because what he has in store for us, if he told us, it would overwhelm us. Are you listening to me? Because sometimes we have to grow into what he's calling us to do. And so if he shows us, this is where I'm taking you, we would be overwhelmed. But by the time we get there, we can handle it. Amen. Amen. That's the journey that God takes us on. We're all on a journey. Every journey is different. Every place is different. Every person is different. Amen. God's not a cookie cutter God. He makes us all different. He uses all of our different personalities. Amen. But he has a plan. He has a plan for every one of us. He has a purpose for every one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Not our will, but his will be done. Not our will, but his will be done. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and pray for those that are down front. If you want to just filter to the sides and join on the ends over there.